The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The 34th Dáil assembles this morning, where Micheál Martin will be re-elected as Taoiseach, but it comes under the cloud of rows around speaking time for the rural independence and the length of the recess that will follow today's proceedings. After receiving the seal of office from President Michael D. Higgins, Micheál Martin will begin appointing a new cabinet. Who will be in it? Sean Defoe, our political correspondent, just back from Washington, trying to catch up with the breakneck pace of things here. Sean, good morning.
Morning, Pat. Yeah,
not exactly breakneck pace.
Not quite. Not compared to the absolute insanity of the Trump regime over the last couple of days. But hey, look, we've got one government elected over there. Let's elect our own today.
Now, explain to me, Donald Trump, in a matter of 24 hours, gets cracking with things. Okay, now he does have that kind of power with his executive orders and all the rest of it. But our government, they've had 2 months to get a program for government together and think about who they might be in. And the aspirants will all be thinking, how would I settle in? Why are we having a 2 week break?
It's bizarre, totally bizarre. Now, usually there's about a week. You know, usually what they do, say if they elect a Taoiseach today, they'd come back next Tuesday, give them the weekend to read into the briefs. Because if you're taking on a new ministry, there's a lot of stuff to catch up on there. It might not be your full expertise, and there's always things to read yourself into the brief. But 2 weeks is an awfully long time when there has been no proper Dáil business done since the start of November. I suppose if you're taking the Trump point, you could argue he was elected at the start of November. Is that all this time before he's inaugurated and has the power to put his stuff into order? And it was a remarkably oiled machine to watch the 100-odd executive orders that have been done over the last few days. But the Dáil doesn't need 2 weeks. Ministers, for the first few months, really, will
having
be getting
a
handle. Exactly. You're taking on the Department of Health. There will be a new health minister, whoever it is. That is not something 2 weeks gets you the chance to read into. It's the civil servants that will be advising for at least 6 months. I heard Stephen Donnelly say, you know, what, a year to you when he was in last week? Mm. So it's a... Look, 2 weeks, you don't need it.
You don't need it. And do we know, is it just that precedent or is it just that we have this leisurely way of doing things here? I mean, if, for example, we'd had an overall majority for one of the parties, I suspect that those parties would be swinging into action straight away.
Yeah, there wouldn't be any excuse to get through it. Exactly. And I suppose they are taking the precedence of the last two times where it took much longer than this to form a government for different reasons, confidence and supply in 2016, COVID last time around. And I suppose it has, they think we're ahead of time here. We're only 2 months past it. Sure, what's another 2 weeks into it? But it's annoyed a lot of people. It's annoyed a lot of TDs. And it does just give that sense, you know, if we were meant to buy into the fact that we need a new government by this time in January to deal with what Trump is doing. And are you going to take 2 more weeks before you have, you know, a lot of action and the Dáil back in to actually do anything? It's bizarre.
And there'll be relatively few real newbies. I mean, there'll be junior ministers who become ministers. There will be ministers who swap portfolios who are well used to the machine of government.
Mm, there will. I mean, if it was a totally new government, say if it was Sinn Féin coming in, maybe you could make an argument for it then. But I mean, a lot of these ministers are going to stay within the same briefs that they were or have been around the cabinet table. There will be a few new faces. We'll get into who they are likely to be in a second. But a lot of these ministers are just taking on over and have been doing the job anyway, by the way, for the last 2 months because they never stopped being ministers. Mm.
Now, let's talk about the speaking time for people who are supporting the government but want opposition speaking time. I mean, this is another Alice in Wonderland notion. And the ultimate decision will be made by the Cian Chorla, Verona Murphy, who will take advice on all of this. But Verona Murphy was a member of the group that is seeking this speaking time. She surely should recuse herself from this decision.
And she was only a member of the regional group, what, a couple of weeks ago? The regional group got her elected. So is she going to go back on that regional group that supported her through it?
Well, exactly.
Not likely.
And you've got to be like Caesar's wife to be seen to be above reproach. And I mean, already she's blotted her copybook in the interview she gave to local radio in Wexford, where she said that it's as good as being, better than being a local TD to be Cian Chorla, because you've got the ear of ministers.
Mm.
Now, how objective is that?
It's something I always thought was strange about Verona Murphy, of all people, seeking this when she was really a constituency TD, and this is the least constituency TD role. You are meant to, you are re-elected automatically for a reason, because you don't have that chance to campaign. She doesn't, if she were to recuse, there actually isn't a last Cian Chorla at the moment. The Dáil hasn't elected one yet. That's not going to be done for probably a couple of weeks now, because they won't sit at least until the 5th of February. But it's an interesting decision. A lot of people have wondered, God, are we making too much of this speaking time in the Dáil? But it does set a precedent where you have government TDs or coalition TDs on different regimes of speaking rights. So someone within Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael is a much bigger party. They might only get a minute every week, every second week, depending on what the issue is. Whereas if you are in a technical group, they get on a rota, a chance to question ministers. You could very well have the situation where Danny Healy-Ray, who wants to be in this technical group from the opposition benches, even though he votes for the government, could be asking questions to Michael Healy-Ray, who is the junior minister who may have to take over priority questions for agriculture some
of the
days.
Why don't they just have a chat on the pub in Kilgarvan?
That's where the real business probably gets done anyway. But look, it's totally bizarre. It is going to fall to Verona Murphy ultimately. She said this is a temporary measure for the minute. All the opposition parties are against it and they're going to kick up a row. It's going to be one of multiple rows, not only over February 5th, over the speaking time. Sinn Féin are trying to force this row, which I think is bizarre as well, about Mary Lou McDonald not being allowed to speak today. That's a totally manufactured row, in my opinion, because the way that the nominations for Taoiseach always work is there's a proposer and a seconder. They're usually the youngest and the oldest TD in each party, or they're picked for a reason. And the leader doesn't speak at all unless they win and they're nominated. But now they're blowing up this big thing as if to say Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are stopping her from speaking. That's not the way
it
goes.
And they're not. Quite simple. Okay, let's talk about cabinet formation. And I know we're blue in the face speculating about all of this. And there are a few kind of known knowns, which would be Pascal going to back to finance and Jack Chambers going to public expenditure, those kind of things. We know who the Taoiseach is going to be. We know who the Taoiseach is going to be. After that, there's a little bit of speculation. I'm more interested in like who deserves to be reappointed. I mean, who's done a good job?
Mm.
And like the speculation that Jennifer Carol McNeill is going to go to health. I mean, who did she offend to end up in health?
That's a good question. Well, let's start with the Fine Gael side though. So then, and the points you've raised there. So as you say, Harris, Foreign Affairs and Trade, Finance. excuse me, Pascal Donoghue. Helen McEntee is going to be retained to Cabinet. Looks like she's going to into the education brief. Peter Burke and Patrick O'Donovan, who are obviously recent enough appointments to Cabinet, but they're both going to stay there. Peter Burke in Enterprise. Looks like Patrick O'Donovan is going to be in charge of a rejigged Department of Communications, Media and Tourism. And then, as you mentioned, the rumour, or certainly the strong speculation, that Jennifer Carr McNeill is going to Health. Obviously, Stephen Donnelly lost his seat. The portfolio has flipped over to Fine Gael. She is seen as someone, I suppose, who certainly wouldn't be daunted by health. You need to have a self-confidence in you, and she has that in absolute spades to go into it. I wonder, is there an element of softening the cough as well, as someone who's been talked about as a future leader? Enda Kenny's tried it in the past, didn't he? Put Leo Varadkar into health. Leo Varadkar put Simon Harris into health. They both ended up being Taoiseach, funny enough, as someone on the floor pointed out to me. And then the final one to round out the Fine Gaelers would be Martin Hayden, who, if you're talking about somebody on merit, I think that's a merit appointment. He's been a junior minister in the Department of Agriculture. Well thought of now, and looks like he'll be.
Before leaving Fine Gael, you mentioned the Taoiseach office, which will also have Foreign Affairs, and the offices are kind of separate. There'll be a ministerial team backing him, and then there'll be a Taoiseach team backing him as well, because you sometimes have to make speeches as Taoiseach, which have nothing to do with the briefs that you carry.
There's a separate office in government buildings then for all that.
So he's going to have Foreign Affairs, and let's think anti-Semitism, Israel, that's going to be on his plate. He's going to have trade, he's going to have Trump on his plate, and he's going to have the army, the under-supplied and under-resourced army on his plate.
Certainly looks like that's where defence is going to be. The trade element coming back into it is going to be big, not least because of what was announced this morning from Donald Trump in relation to the corporation tax. Like, it's effectively going to be the minister for Trump, isn't it, for the next 4 years, that he's going to have to deal with all of those foreign policy decisions, whatever happens in Ukraine and the evolving situation in Gaza. So it's a huge job, really, for the next 3 years.
Yeah, I'm just wondering where they bundle it all together.
Yeah, well, Simon Harris had a comment, I think, over the weekend that when you see who's appointed Minister for Defence, you're going to see we're going to put a big focus on it. Was that a humble brag talking about himself? Yeah, I stride in. Look at this Micheál Martin guy. What are you doing? You know, so it's a big brief. It's an absolutely massive one. And if it's not accompanied in defence, I think by the investment that the Defence Forces needs, not to become a military superpower, but even to have the basic function of radar that we will need.
Yeah, and the Navy taking to sea without any guns that are operational. Let's talk then on the Fianna Fáil side, and we know who the Taoiseach is going to be. So from there on,
Fianna Fáil's a little less predictable. Anyone who tells you they know Micheál Martin's mind, don't believe them, because he plays his cards incredibly tightly to his chest. So much so that in 2020, when Norma Foley got the call, so unsuspecting was she that she was going to be a cabinet minister that she was apparently shopping in Arnott's at the time and had to run back over the city to get back and be appointed. So she is going to stay in the cabinet. Looks like she'll be the new Heather Humphreys. She's going into social protection. Dara O'Brien likely to be kept in the housing brief. Some talk that he might be moved.
Yeah,
I don't see that as likely.
Talking being moved to transport, that sounds like a demotion, and the word in the Fianna Fáil circles is that he's done a damned fine job, has he not?
Well, this is why I think you can't move him. If your whole argument and the argument went into an election and won an election on was we're doing a good job on housing actually and we're turning the corner, and then you switch him out of housing and say we need someone new in there, doesn't look good. So I think he's going to fairly safe to stay in housing there. Who else? Jack Chambers, public expenditure. We've already talked about that. And then after that, it's a little less predictable. And I think the big interesting one that everyone is watching is justice. A lot of talk that Jim O'Callaghan is going to be brought back in from the cold. The other name in the fire is James Brown, who was the junior minister. And this is sort of your test, because on one hand, Jim O'Callaghan's a very worthy candidate for this. There's no one doubting he'd be a good justice minister. He's well on top of the brief. He's a senior counsel, all that sort of stuff. Yet he turned down a junior ministry last time around to go in and do what James Brown did. James Brown had a lot of achievements in the department, got the gambling bill passed. Micheál Martin likes him, a hard worker. So I don't know. I tend to err on the side of if you've turned down a junior minister, you're unlikely to be brought in.
Your choice as a senior counsel is, do I keep earning the big bucks in the courts or become a junior minister with the view to long-term promotion, or do I go back to the law library, do my work and do my work as a constituency TD, and then eventually my merit will shine through and I will be selected for a senior role.
And on the other hand, you know, you turned down an offer to serve the state and to do some good, and were agitating in the background against Micheál Martin, who is now more secure than he's ever been as leader of Fianna Fáil. So I genuinely don't know if he does. If Micheál Martin does appoint him, it's a big olive branch to be putting out there. On the other hand, could he go with James Brown? I think maybe. Brown less likely because Mary Butler looks as though she's going to be appointed to cabinet. Would you have two senior ministers in such geographic proximity in Waterford and Wexford? It's hard to see. Waterford likely to get its first cabinet minister since Martin Cullen when she goes into the Department of Children and Disability. James Lawless being tipped for transport. It took a long time for Micheál Martin to promote him to a junior minister, but once he did, he seemed to have done a pretty good job. And then the question is sort of around, is it Dara Cleary or is it Charlie McConnellogue maybe into the Department of Education? I'd put James Lawless in that bracket as well. I think two come out of that, and I'm not 100% sure who.
Now, the gender balance, and as we've found out from Donald Trump, there are only two genders, male and female. So in the cabinet, how is the gender balance looking?
It's still going to be heavily male dominated. There's no two ways about that. I think each party is likely to appoint two women as senior ministers, probably Mary Butler and Norma Foley on the Fianna Fáil side, and
so
Helen
McEntee.
It'll
still McEntee,
be more
than Jennifer 2-1, Carlin, almost 3-1.
It'll be about 2-1 when you take in the super junior ministers. Hildegard Nocton is probably going to keep her role for Fine Gael, meaning there'll be three super junior ministers in Galway alone when you take in the regional independents. And then it could be the likes of a Niamh Smith in Fianna Fáil, but I think that's less likely. I think she'll be a junior minister. So, no, male dominated is still going to be there. I'm not sure the gender balance will be any better than the last government.
Sean Defoe, fascinating stuff. All will unfold this afternoon and then they'll go dark for 2 weeks.
Yeah, which I'm not going to lie. For someone who's just come back over an overnight flight, I'm not too upset about.
All right, Sean Defoe, our political correspondent, host of the Let Me Explain podcast. Another edition of that, no doubt, will emerge.
Absolutely, yeah. So I'm actually putting one together from the stuff we got in the States and the people we were talking to, because the MAGA people are so fascinating, but as well, sort of an inside this new government. So a couple of episodes coming this week.
Great stuff, Sean Defoe. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.